Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
Fucking Super Bowl.
I wanted a football game. I did not want a football game to turn out that way. Although I do have to say that, you know, the whole Hillary Clinton meme as a Falcons player pretty much summed that one up.
Yeah. It was like 96% chance of winning. Where have I heard those odds before? I think it was one of the ones I saw.
I think it was 91.6 at one point. But yeah, I don't know. You know, once we got into the third quarter, like, I don't understand that whole, hey, let's shotgun and get further back and put ourselves out of, freaking field goal position. But, you know, shitty call. Well, maybe there's next year.
I think one of the problems and the reason why the Falcons failed to rise up is they didn't call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Veteran-owned energy drink company. Goes in whatever liquid you want to put it in. Water, beer, tequila, whatever. But if the Falcons had loaded up on some Strike Force pregame, I think they could have carried through. But
yeah, you know those guys had to be exhausted, you know, as long as defense stayed out there.
Yeah.
So
if you want to rise up, go to StrikeForceEnergy.com and use the promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order.
And if you're not a Falcons fan and you're a Patriots fan, well, just continue on winning and order more Strike Force.
I mean, you gotta
gotta
have it for the celebration, and, you know, pregame and postgame. So no matter what, you know, Strike Force up. So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
So this week we are smoking the Rocky Patel Dark Dominican. And I do believe this is Rocky's first all-Dominican cigar.
It's a Dominican Puro. Dominican Maduro wrapper, filler, binder, even made in the Dominican. So this is like, yeah, all the way Dominican.
But we're actually smoking the 6x54, which is called the Supremo. So, you know, we had to have a nice, you know, post-game smokes. This is what we've elected. And, you know, this is starting to make its debut, you know, around to different shops.
Yeah, this premiered last year's IPCPR, but this is the first time I've been able to find one of these locally. So,
and, you know, we've talked a lot about cigars throughout, you know, our podcast. We haven't talked much about Dominican cigars and, you know, a lot of Nicaraguan and, you know, that type of thing, but not too much from the Dominican. So this is a nice, you know, little treat. You know, I'm going to, just off the bat, you know, I'm going to put this at a medium. You know, Rocky's not, you know, it's got a couple full flavors out there, but, you know.
This one's not quite after smoking as many of the freaking Super Lajeros as I have, this isn't on that strength level, but it's, you know, it's a dark, oily bastard, and it's definitely got a sweetness to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm really enjoying the flavors. I mean, I'm getting, you know, just a touch of leather, a little bit earthy flavors, maybe some nuts, a little bit. I don't know. My taste buds are kind of shot from the chili, so my views may be a little bit biased. This thing could be spicy as hell, but after the chili, like, I don't know any difference now. But I mean, I haven't had a bad product. I mean, this is a relatively inexpensive smoke too, which is an added plus. You know, so if you happen to, you know, see it out in shops, you know, feel free, stop in, give it a try.
You know, I'm not hating on it. We picked this one up at the cigar shop in Cumming. So, you know, it's if you're in our area, it is local. The only other shop I've recently run into this is a little shop up in Blue Ridge. I stopped That's the first time I smoked one of these when I was up in Blue Ridge the other weekend. But gotta say, I'm liking this smoke. I'm glad it's becoming more readily available.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, I guess we're probably due for an update too on where's some of the legislation and stuff like that that's supposedly coming down the pipeline, and see if with the change in presidencies and everything else, if maybe some of that stuff has been put on hold or anything. So maybe that'll be something we'll have prepped and ready for the next episode.
Yeah, maybe. So speaking of episodes, what are we talking about this week?
Triple X.
Ooh. No, not the what everyone assumes. You mean by Triple X, but just recently released a new Triple X movie, Triple X: The Return of Xander Cage. So,
and I'm so happy they finally brought him back, man. That second film, like, I don't know what happened, but yeah, we'll get into it more in further detail. But
and with that, we'll be right back. And welcome back to the podcast. It's time to talk about some Triple X, and we're not talking about the porno channel.
Nah, we're talking about, I don't know, man. Like, I guess this is one franchise that a lot of people just didn't get behind, but I gotta say, I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. I mean, it might have been because I wasn't into football and baseball and stuff. I was into BMX and skateboards and, more the extreme sports, I guess, is, or aggressive sports, ever how you want to freaking phrase it. But I don't know. I guess from that level, I could kind of connect. And plus, I was always, pretty rebellious against authority. So I don't know. These films kind of played into my psyche.
Or psychosis. One or the other. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the series of action movies by the moniker Triple X, which the first one, 2002's Triple X, starring Vin Diesel, directed by Rob Cohen, who you may know from a little movie called Fast and the Furious.
Yes. And I mean, if these films didn't quite, segue into Fast and the Furious, especially where Fast and the Furious has progressed, like, I think the two story arcs could, Xander Cage, a.k.a. Dom.
That's one of the things I want to see. Like, if they do another freaking Triple X movie, that's what I want to see. I want to see, because, from all the trailers of the new Fast and the Furious, it looks like Dom's gone rogue. I want to see him bring in Triple X to take down Dom. Have Diesel versus Diesel.
I almost, think that what we're going to see is Fate of the Furious is actually the start of the Triple X program.
All this has been a prequel?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, it probably is not all that far fletched.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. The first movie was fairly successful. Made for $70 million, made $277 million. I mean, kind of like, Fast and the Furious. But, I mean, it also came out in a time where, if this original movie had come out now, I don't know if it would have had the same impact, but in the early 2000s, this was like the height of extreme sports culture.
Well, I mean, dude, not to say that X Games and stuff like that is, any less, I guess on the map or the radar or whatever, but it definitely doesn't get the publicity and stuff like that.
It's kind of like, normal now. And if you really want to see extreme crazy shit, you're going to the internet, you know, YouTube and stuff. But then it was like every, I mean, there was like freaking movies about skateboarders. I mean, it was,
I mean, we had Tony Hawk had video games.
Tony Hawk Mera, video games, BMX games.
Travis Pastrana all over the map.
Yeah, all the freaking crazy Nitro Circus shit that was going on. And in fact, you know, they even put several, you know, extreme sports athletes in the movie just to kind of give Vin Diesel's character, Xander Cage, some street creds. I mean, Tony Hawk has a cameo, Mike Vallée, Corey Hart, Matt Hoffman, Josh Todd. Like, all these, you know, big name, you know, sports figures at the time, and still today, I mean, you know, freaking Birdman is still a freaking legend.
I mean, I you know, I mean, those guys that I mean, they were my idols, you know, throughout my teenage years and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, if this movie was made a few years later, freaking Pastrana would have probably been in there, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
but yeah, Vin Diesel plays Xander Cage, which is kind of the, I don't know, poster boy for people doing dumb shit on you. I mean, this was like people doing dumb shit on the internet before people were doing dumb shit on the internet.
But he always had, you know, that political statement behind it, too.
Yeah.
Where he starts out freaking stealing, you know, what the fuck is the dude's official position?
Dick Hotchkiss, a U.S. senator who is, like, against rap music, against video games, which was another thing we had in the late 90s and early 2000s.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto, you know, I mean,
yeah,
every
people
time
blaming
they
video games
one.
And movies and shit for violence.
This music and these video games and get off my lawn.
So Xander Cage, who is an extreme sports athlete slash vigilante, decides to steal a Corvette and jump it off a bridge and make, you know, a bunch of money on his underground, you know, web series of him the Xander Zone, of him doing like stupid stunts and shit that today he would be a freaking YouTube millionaire. If they remade this movie in 2017, it's going to be like, you know, Johnny Knoxville on freaking, you know, YouTube.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing too, is this film kind of, you know, was a precursor, because yeah, you know, YouTube was a thing, but it wasn't as big of a thing as it is today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, viral videos and social media and all of that wasn't near as prevalent as far as the campaigns, the exposures, the hashtags, and everything else. So, I mean, this film, I think, was a little bit ahead of its time.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of predicted our the internet future there, if you will. But let's back it up like a few ticks before that, though. Before we even get it, you know, introduced into Xander's character, there's this whole opening sequence with, this was supposed to have been our generation's James Bond. Was they were like, you know, it's a new, more dangerous world, and the traditional spies can't fit in this new world. And so the movie starts off with this very traditional James Bond-esque spy wearing a tuxedo, trying to steal, you know, plans from these, you know, our evildoers of the film, this group called Anarchy 99, who apparently has stolen some Russian bioweapon. And they're pretty much all like...
Which, very fittingly named, Silent Night.
Yeah, former Russian soldiers and stuff. But they live in this, you know, heavy metal extreme world, so...
They live in the Vampire 2000 era.
Yeah, pretty much. So when this very traditional spy shows up, you know, he's like a freaking stands out like a sore thumb, because, you know, he's trying to go into this world where everyone's tattooed and listening to freaking Rammstein and doing dumb shit. So it's like, you know, that's where this kind of the whole XXX program comes from, because Augustus Gibbs, played by Samuel Jackson, an NSA agent, is like, we need someone who's not a traditional spy
I mean,
because these guys can recognize the training. They're all former military, and also someone who is, you know, hard around the edges, military trained, may not be able to blend so easily into this, you know, anarchist metalhead world that these guys exist in.
Especially if your front is all about cars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's like, dude, I looked over your list of cars. Anybody would know a cop made that list.
Yeah, that was what, hey, you know, once they Gibbons captures him and he's like, hey, you know, that little stunt you pulled on the bridge was a, you know, three strike felony. You know, that little triple X tattoo you got on your neck's pretty fitting because this is your third strike and you're going to prison if you don't help me. It gives him his famous speech, like, you ever seen a lion in a cage at the zoo? You can tell the one's been there too long because, you know, their eyes just, you know, die inside and stuff. So he's like, all right, fuck it.
I don't want to rot.
I'll go serve my country. So he goes in kind of as himself, you know, like these Russian guys are like, oh shit, I know this dude from the internet. He's badass. And he's like, yeah, I'm having to lay low for a while. So I'm running cars for some, like, some rich, rich criminal friends. And, you know, apparently he modified the list. So like, he's like, man, freaking no real car collector is going to want these freaking cars. Like, so I had to modify to make it look good. And throw something 10, in for myself.
A number 10 fucking, is extra special.
Yeah, a classic Pontiac GTO.
Oh, man. I think that is... exotic cars, all right, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Dude, my heart is always going to be, you know, with the muscle cars.
Old-fashioned American muscle. Yeah, and like, yeah, as he calls them, yeah, pasta rockets and whatnot. He's like, those are for the rich friend. Yeah, I want the muscle car. And I mean, a good choice for a, you know, because Bond, like I said, the whole comparison of comparing XXX to James Bond and it being this is like the new generation. Bond would have had an Aston Martin or some fancy German car or English car, whatever. But no, XXX is like straight American muscle.
You know, it's going to be European made.
Yeah. And it's going to be kind of blend into every other rich guy's collection. But. Yeah, he's like, no, I'm the flashy James
Bond.
I gotta
be loud, obnoxious, and I gotta look cool doing it.
I'm gonna wear a giant fur coat that looks like I'm wearing an actual sheep and drive a 60s muscle car.
Which, I gotta say, man.
Pimp-ass purple, too.
Freaking, you know, Samuel L. Jackson's character in this, I mean, dude, I fucking just love everything that he does. I mean... You know, I kept having flashbacks to Pulp Fiction and, you know, like some of the like almost Tarantino style speeches yeah. that he, you know, he's given and everything. It's just awesome.
And he's kind of a dick, but he says like
it makes
the
sense.
Right things to motivate this person. Because, you know, if you try to hit him with the patriotics and tell him exactly what to do, he's probably going to tell you to fuck yourself. But, you know. Making him think that, you know, all this stuff is kind of his idea, you know. He's like, yo, yeah, you need to bail out XXX, you know, you've been blown. And he's like, no, I gotta stand up and be the hero now. And even...
I mean, reverse psychology, man, it's a hell of a thing. Like...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he just plays Xander against himself.
That's the sign of a true leader there, is, you know, knowing exactly what to say to motivate your people. You know, there wasn't a set speech for Gibbons, you know, he's like, yeah, I tell you what you need to hear to get the job done.
Yeah, well, and I mean, that really plays, you know, true throughout the story arc where he develops a little bit of an interest in a, you know, little Russian gal.
Yelena, played by Asia Argento.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie also introduced her to the American market. She was a big foreign actress, but yeah, she was kind of hot here in America for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it put quite a few people on the map, but... I don't know. I mean, for me, it was all about, I don't know, I got an adrenaline rush from this film. Because, I mean, hell, I was the type that was out building freaking dirt tracks and stuff like that to either jump dirt bikes or, you know, BMX bikes or, you know, hey, what's the steepest mountain we can find and how fast can we make it down?
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it was, you know, because, you know, they jerk him off the street and send him on this mission. He doesn't have any kind of formal military training, but his stunt work... You know, perfectly helps him. You know, like, especially there's that one scene where his cover's blown and he's like pinned down by like a sniper guy. He ends up using a freaking dining tray as a skateboard nearly and rail grinding all the way down this, like, you know, dodging sniper bullets and then later on causing an avalanche and snowboarding, you know, in front of an avalanche, using that to take out like the bad guys and, you know, knock out the surveillance on the castle.
Although I gotta say, highly, highly unrealistic. He would have been toast.
Oh yeah, guys on snowmobiles are getting overtaken by the avalanche, but Vin is just like cruising on his snowboard. you know, at least a good 6 foot in front of the disaster, but the guys with motorized snowboards can't keep up. A little bit.
Yeah. That's because they didn't have them turbocharged and bored over, and they didn't do it right.
But let's take it back a notch to the tests he goes through when they first, like, capture him. That was really cool way of setting up that, like, oh, this guy's not just some dumb, you know.
And I feel like that is a stereotypical police diner that you see in every cop film.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I've seen that in Dirty Harry.
I'm sure Pulp that
it's been in, like, there is a diner scene in a lot of, like, cop action movies.
But, I mean, I just like it, you know, think it's really cool how he's able to be like, yeah, dude's reading, you know, the freaking Wall Street Times, knowing that the freaking stocks are closed today. And, you know, my mom was a waitress for 20 years. She wouldn't be caught dead in those hills.
Like, yeah, just his, I mean, because, you know, if they just grabbed him and threw him into it, you'd be like, this is completely up. But they do a good job with these tests of saying, all right, this guy might have the skills to survive. Because I said that first set of tests where they fake a robbery in the diner, it really shows his, like, you know, thinking on his feet, observation skills, which is pretty much necessary if you're doing some kind of, like, stunt work and stuff like that, because you've got to be able to read a situation and adjust accordingly, like, on the fly, or you're going to end up, you know, wrapping your motorcycle around a tree or whatever.
Well, I think it's just kind of cool, you know, where the fact that dude's got the gun pointed in his face, and it's like, I knew you weren't going to shoot me, but that's real glass in your face.
Yeah, he smashes the one guy with the coffee pot and then, you know, takes the shotgun away from the other guy. And is like, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I could have waited till Christmas and, you know, banker here would not have shot me. But all right, I can let that go. You know, there's, and he's just, and she's like, how'd you know? He's like, all right, you got him reading the paper, you know. This guy who's robbing the place wearing, like, freaking, I don't know, I forgot what gave him away, but it's like, but he's like flow over here with the wrong shoes. But it's just kind of cool that he was able to pick up all those tiny details, and then they drop his ass in him and the other finalist in Colombia. And they're like, all right, smartass, let's throw you in a real situation, see what happens.
And I just love the fact, too, that there's no warning or anything. It's just, oh, you're out of the plane.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the running gag, you know, too, throughout the franchise, you know, especially as we get into the later films, where he's like, I remember this shit.
And I do like the look on his face, too, because he's like, you know, they all the military guys are kind of laughing, and him and all these other guys that have just gone through the exact same scenario are like, oh, this is another fake thing they're going to put us through. And when the parachute pops, starts jerking them all out of the plane, he's like, I live for this shit. But as soon as that cord hits, he gets like some moment of panic there, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, pretty freaking insane. But, I mean, I guess because in a sense it is unorthodox, it's over the top. I mean, for a mindless action movie, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, they had to include crazy, you know, motorcycle stunts in all of it, too. So, you know, and this one has a nice cameo by you know, Danny Trejo. So if you need somebody to play a scary-ass Colombian drug lord, yeah.
Yeah, always that's funny, Danny. You know, Xander, they're all tied up. And he's like, you know what's really funny about this test? Is that smells like real blood.
Yeah. Because at that point, they're like, you know, he's there to torture him. And he's like, what the hell? These guys aren't scared of me because they're all talking shit because they think it's another freaking act. And then they're like, oh no, these motherfuckers, they really dropped us into Colombia.
It's like, you know, and that whole scene where he's like, all right, slap me again and I'm gonna drop you.
Oh yeah. And then that whole, like, escape sequence where he goes to get a motorcycle and has to do, like, a freaking, you know, triple gold X Games run to instead of just getting on the bike,
I mean,
and going.
The Superman, he's having over freaking, the,
yeah, over dodge the helicopters barn. And do all kind of crazy stuff. It's kind of impractical, but it worked.
I was almost waiting at one point for the helicopter to swoop in low and him come, you know, with a freaking can and end up taking the helicopter down with the dirt bike. I mean, that was almost what I was waiting for.
Or just, like, in the side door of the Huey and knock everybody out, and he goes out the other side and lands and takes off, you know. But they didn't go that ridiculous.
But I do have to say, you know, the guy that, you know, has been injured or whatever that's laying out in the field and, you know, it's like, I got you. I told you I'd come back. And the guy's like shaking his head like, no, they're already here.
Yeah, you got Marines coming up out of the cocoa fields like, I'm in love with the cocoa.
You got to cut it.
Oh, but and then one of my other favorite characters, I tell you, it's. Again, running the whole comparison of James Bond to this, of course, you've got to have gadgets. And Vin Diesel's Q is Agent Toby Lee Schaefer, played by Michael Roof. And he's like this nerd. He is like a total gun, you know, and gadget nerd. I mean,
he's a straight up gadget geek.
He's like, I've never been in the field. You know, this is my first time out, you know, bringing you the goodies. And I love his gadgets. The badass freaking XXX pistol with all the little, you know, of course, 44 Magnum. But it has all these little ink, like, you know, tracking darts, blood darts, knockout darts, explosive darts. And if you really just want to fuck some shit up, some 44 Magnums. And then the whatever, Band-Aid explosives.
I thought the Band-Aid explosives were pretty cool. Like, I mean, that was pretty sweet. Like,
and, of course, yeah, X-ray vision. Yeah, it's...
you got to put it on nude mode or bone mode. That's every, you know, teenage boy's dream.
And then, of course, you know, the... Yeah.
Yeah. Although she was a pretty good shot. I don't know that, you know... I mean, I guess if you got Vin Diesel's stature and everything, you could probably get away with it. You or I... We're not going to get away with it.
I might.
You're not getting away with it.
No, no.
If she doesn't get you, your girlfriend will.
True. But the, and of course, you know, the, which I think I've seen like this play out in movies since where he just shows up with the car and the table full of weapons. Like, I want all of that in here. And he, you know, turns his GTO into the, the ultimate James Bond car.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some very distinct comparisons there, absolutely.
And, you know, and we get...
But I just love his carelessness, too, of the gadgets, where he's like, you might want to stand back over here and just freaking blows the thing. And everybody's like, no, I meant to do that. Like, I'm pretty sure you would have killed people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely not been in the field much. But yeah, that whole... And then, like, the whole final action sequence where Anarchy 99's plan is they have this sub who's going to go wipe out all the major cities with this Silent Night, which kind of sounds a little bit like the end of Captain America First Avenger, where it's... instead of a sub, it's a giant plane that's going to, you know, bomb all the world capitals, but...
I gotta say, like, leading up to that, like, where they're actually down in the lab, and, you know, what's his face? Our,
Yorgi.
Yeah, Yorgi is, you know, sitting there, and he's got, you know, the freaking detonator and everything, and, you know, all of the scientists and everybody's trapped. Like, that was a pretty intense scene. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's when you're like, oh, these aren't just your fun-loving Russian terrorists. These guys are serious. Because before then, they, you know, even Diesel was like, oh, they're not that bad guys. They're a little crazy and all, but they're fun to hang out with. But then that's when you really see
these guys
the darkness behind their motivations. And speaking of James Bond, his Yorgi's right-hand man, Kittery, the sniper,
yes,
went on to be a James Bond villain later on.
I just can't get out from the Russian underworld, man.
Yeah. But I do like the whole when they're raiding the bunker trying to stop these guys before Ahab, the killer sub, gets unleashed. You know, the sniper guy's got him pinned down, and he's like, come on, you know, y'all gotta stop thinking, you got a bazooka there. Stop thinking Czech police, start thinking PlayStation.
Yes.
Because, yeah, pretty much, you know, yeah, that's, you know, in a video game, you know, which is... You know, Xander's world, he's
like... If all else fails, pull out the noob tube.
Yeah, you just start, you know, dropping rockets on people. And, you know, a good, yeah, unfortunate anti-smoking PSA there, because that guy's, like, chain-smoking cigarettes through the whole movie. Yeah, friggin', he's like, I bet that guy's smoking a cigarette. Use the heat sinker. It's like, told you those cigarettes would kill you.
That's one way to do it. But yeah, him like freaking on the back of that submarine and everything, like.
Oh, and when he's trying to, and when he, before that, when he's trying to shoot Yorgi as he's fleeing in the boat, you know, like I said, he's not a trained soldier, so he's like just missing all of, and even Yorgi Trenton is like, "You're not a very good shot."
I mean, he was on a boat.
I mean, he eventually hits him, but it takes a few tries.
Man, it's the effort that counts. At least he wasn't shooting back.
Yeah, but then you get your final, you know, badass chase scene where he's chasing the sub in his badass car, trying to figure out how to get on it. And, of course, you know, stuntman, I've got a harpoon gun and a parachute. Let's air surf this thing.
I can make a sweet parasail.
Which one of the Vin Diesel's stunt double was actually killed filming that sequence. There's one scene where he connects to the sub goes under a bridge and he has to zip line from the parachute down to the sub as it's going under the bridge. And in the filming of that, on the second take, his stunt double actually hit one of the pylons of the bridge and was killed.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's crazy.
But, so. Yeah, and of course, you know, he flips the sub, saves the world, and goes on out to hang out in Bora Bora with hot chicks.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it and 14, 15 years now.
But that brings us to XXX State of the Union from 2005. As good as the first one is, the second one's just as bad. It's like,
but for all the different reasons.
Complete opposite.
Like, I don't understand, because this film did not seem to tie in any way, shape, or form.
The
and
only returning characters is Gibbs and Schaefer. Everyone else is gone. New director, this one directed by Lee Tama, starring Ice Cube as the new XXX. But, you know, this was an era when Vin Diesel was like, "I don't do sequels." Yeah, because for a while there, he's like, "Nah, I'm one and done. I don't want," until, you know, someone offered him a that's why he's not in the second Fast and the Furious. And then someone offered him a shitload of money to start, you know, making sequels. He's like, "You know, this sequel business ain't a bad idea. I can be part of a franchise, guys.
I can make lots of money." It's always a good motivational force, I believe.
Yeah, like I said, where the first movie was all extreme sports, heavy metal, club, you know, this one is back to a straight military style.
Hold on. Nope, we're straight out of Compton.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, where this one was all rock and roll and extreme sports, this one is all gangsta shit and rap music. But also, like I said, you know, the point of the first movie was to move away from the James Bond military-esque stereotype of a spy. So the second one, we're going to go back to that stereotype that we were trying to avoid in the first one. But instead of turning it, it would even have made sense if Ice Cube's character, Darius Stone, had been a, like, gangbanger, you know, that they picked up out of the hood and turned him into a spy. But no, he's a lieutenant in the Navy SEALs who went to prison for punching his CO that turned out to be, like, you know, kind of a douchebag anyway. But I mean, they kind of missed the mark. You know, it definitely was a complete opposite theme than the first XXX.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, you know, one, I didn't really like the story, and I'm sorry, for this role, Ice Cube's character, his demeanor, it wasn't fitting at all. Like,
no, I mean
it
was a soldier. He was a Navy officer.
But wasn't even so much he was a soldier. I mean,
no, I'm saying he should have been a soldier.
Oh, yeah.
It was Ice Cube playing Ice Cube. This was like Boys in the Hood Part 3. You know, he was, you know, and I've seen Ice Cube act in later movies where he's a good actor.
But I think, you know, and I think that Vin Diesel caught it when he read it and he's like, "I don't like the script, I'm out." Like,
yeah.
I think he made a good call there, because, you know, I didn't like, and the other thing that I didn't like about this is it seemed like it took a step back because the CGI was so overused and terrible. Like,
yeah, I mean that whole, I mean, we'll get to it eventually, but the climactic final scene where he's chasing a bullet train in a supercar. That looked like a video game. That looked like that whole action sequence. You can tell like there was no actors involved in that. It was straight CGI. Where the first one depended heavily on practical stunts. Yeah, this one was, like I said, a whole lot more slicked up CGI and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we'll get into it as we talk about the third one. But yeah, I mean, this one just did not sit well with me at all. I mean, it was just, all right, we're boosting and we're chopping cars and we're doing this type of thing. And, you know, I mean, had it not have been branded Triple X and just branded, you know, Boys from the Hood, like, I would have been like, hey, this was an all right movie. But trying to tie it into the Triple X franchise just really missed the mark for me.
Yeah, if this had been a standalone film under a different title, it might have not done as poorly. Like I said, it was made for 60 mil, only made 70 mil. So not too good a return on investment on that one.
No, and I mean, even with Gibbons, like I didn't feel like he had the persona that he really had in the first film. Like, yeah. The first one, like, I'm like, you almost relate to that shit, right? I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's almost like a Morgan Freeman. When he starts speaking, like, your ears instantly perk up. He's like, he's about to drop motherfucking knowledge.
But what is funny is, like, this one starts off in the Triple X base, and some kind of mysterious soldiers break in and basically blow up the whole base and kill everybody except for Gibbons and Schaefer, who managed to escape and, you know, and some new pimped out ride. But, you know, and so Samuel Jackson's like, you know, we can't trust anybody. We gotta come up with a new Triple X, someone who's a little bit more dangerous because we're dealing with more dangerous shit. So we're going to get an actual soldier this time. But like I said, his whole personality in this movie was not that of someone who was a former soldier. I mean, he maybe had the physical skills, but yeah, it was just his attitude was, this was Ice Cube playing Ice Cube.
Yes.
This was not Ice Cube playing Triple X. But, and maybe that's something.
And apparently it wasn't a good day because he had to use his AK.
Yeah, a lot. But, you know, when Gibbons first goes to recruit him at the prison, he starts, you know, trying to give him the same Triple X speech he gave him, you know, about the, you know, lions and cages and whatnot. And Ice Cube, who apparently had served with Gibbons in the military, he's like, you're still giving that same old speech? So he's like having none of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I don't know. I mean,
it has its moments.
It does. And I mean, I don't want to hate on it too, you know, too harsh, but it just,
it's entertaining. It just does not fit in the mold of established by the first movie.
Entertaining for its own ways. Like, I mean, you know, these were guys that I would love to, you know, fucking hang out in the garage and fucking talk cars and watch them, you know, fucking do their magic when it comes to automobiles and stuff. But, you know, I could almost see like this being almost.
Speaking of magic and automobiles, once they break Ice Cube out of prison, you know, he's like, well, we need some resources. Let me go back to my old hood contacts before I joined the military. And goes to the old chop shop he used to work at. It's run by, which now is pretty much a custom car building place, but it's run by Exhibit. You know, if anybody knows from the old, you know, Pimp My Ride and West Coast Customs, it was kind of funny that, you know, Exhibit was the guy running the chop shop.
Yeah, well, I don't remember when that show first came out. You know, a lot of people were giving that show shit, though, because they would take their cars to get pimped. Well, yeah, they were getting pimped, but, you know, they were unreliable and broke down, yeah, you know, to begin with. So they're not doing anything as
really
far
cool,
as,
but it's still got a 200,000-mile engine in it.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, plus all these electronics and everything else are so impractical.
Oh, yeah, they made some, like, ridiculous cars on that show.
But, I mean, whatever. Good for the sponsors. I mean, there's a level of creativity. But, I mean, I would much prefer the creativity go to, like, a West Coast, you know, Customs or Choppers or something that's making
Well, West Coast Custom actually has their own show now. And they do some pretty badass work. They're not doing ridiculous shit for MTV. Remember when that was a thing, MTV?
They actually played music.
Remember?
Nah, man. How long ago was that?
I don't even know.
Shit, I remember watching Coolio Gangster's Paradise on MTV.
Yeah, remember when Ice Cube was a rapper? And now he's making, like, weird comedy movies?
That's funny. Like, you know, you think back to some of the albums that these guys have produced, and they go on now, and they're playing, you know, agents and stuff like that, and, you know, all of these roles that go completely against a lot of their...
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, the best example is Ice-T. Yeah, he made Cop Killer, and he's been playing a cop on TV for longer than he's been a rapper at this point.
I've had more success being a good guy than I ever did being...
Oh, but the whole plot of the movie is... Yeah, another one of my favorite, William Dafoe, is the Secretary of Defense, and he thinks the president is a little bit of a pussy, and he wants to have a coup. So basically he, you know, Gibbons, you know, Samuel Jackson's character, supposedly, you know, gets killed at his house, and, you know, X is on his own. Well, they find out, no, he ain't dead. Basically, they've been kidnapping all of his old unit, and they're going to use... basically fake a terrorist attack and use them as the scapegoats and use that excuse to, like, kill the president and take over, you know, in a, like a military coup. Can't freaking talk tonight.
Haiku!
Yeah. And even that action sequence where he breaks in and they figure out that, you know, the Secretary of Defense has been secretly pulling in all these troops that are loyal to him and kind of staging him at this aircraft carrier. And there's the whole ridiculous escape sequence where he's in like an APC tank and, you know, he's getting chased by some kind of like, for another reason why this movie was stupid. Instead of like just using real equipment, they had some weird like super tank with three barrels and stuff that, you know, chasing him around the aircraft carrier. Why not just use a regular freaking tank?
Because it doesn't have three barrels.
Triple X needs three barrels, yo.
Yeah, come on.
And that's another example of a ridiculous CGI scene, because he ends up using the aircraft carrier's catapult system to launch his tank into the super tank and blow them both up. And looks like something out of World of Tanks. I mean, it's straight bad CGI.
So did you know about World of Tanks before you watched the Super Bowl?
I do now.
I was just wondering, you made the reference, and I was like, I wonder if you knew that was a game before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've seen their ads here and there. I've never played it, but...
It's free to play. Download now.
Yeah.
Enter code Super Bowl. We'll give you 50 free credits.
I mean, that's the thing about Super Bowl, man. The commercials this year was kind of weak, but the World of Tanks videos were probably one of the better of the bad batch of stuff.
I don't know, man. I really like the Kia commercial. You know, bringing back Suds, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
the ghost of Spuds McKenzie. Yeah, I mean,
then,
I don't know. The 50 Shades of Grey cell phone commercials, that's the one that, like, made me laugh. People getting turned on by bad cell phone service.
Taxes? Fees?
Oh
God!
But anyway,
scary.
And
you know, if that happened in a trailer park, it'd be a felony.
Oh God!
It's only because he's a rich billionaire.
Damn!
Gotta call it like we see it. Anarchy 99.
And the whole, like, sequence when he gets all his car thief buddies to help him, you know, try to stop this invasion. and they hijack a tank. And like freaking X, like this is the first tank jacking in history. Yes.
I feel like you're trying to die on me tonight.
Yeah, I've been kind of fighting a bronchitis the last week or so. So it's working its way out. Instead of coughing every 5 minutes, now it's like, you know, hourly. I should be good for in here until like at least news before I have another coughing fit. But yeah, this and another thing to kind of back up, they kind of explain Vin Diesel's absence by like, oh, when this group hit the NSA base, they hit all the agents in the field as well, and Triple X was killed in Bora Bora. Supposedly.
Yeah. Supposedly.
Sorry. But with enough money, no one actually dies.
I got distracted. I got a news article that just broke, so I have to share it. So stay tuned because it's breaking news. The internet hasn't even caught wind of it yet.
Pizza guy's here? Is that what?
Nope.
Oh.
All I'm going to say is RIP Harambe.
Anyway, moving right along. Yeah, this movie pretty much almost killed the Triple X franchise. It, there was really no sign of a sequel after this until finally this year we get Triple X, Return of Xander Cage.
I'm going to call this one Return of the Roots because they started going back and I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of, it's a crap movie and blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, it's a dumb, mindless action movie, but you know what? It took me back to what the first film kind of had.
Yeah.
And for me, it was refreshing and I didn't view it as a waste.
Yeah, ridiculous action sequences on skateboards, motorcycles, and, you know, falling out of planes and whatnot. What the original... It's they took what made the original one magic and added to it. Like, you know, not only we have a Triple X, we got Triple X's in this movie.
Yeah, and I thought that was cool. You know, having all of, you know, like the entire kind of team, you know, aspect of things. So
yeah, this one directed by DJ Caruso, starring, of course, Vin Diesel is back. And they explained away the whole, you know, Xander Cage being dead by, oh, he faked his death. He just kind of went into like, you know, obscure retirement and has been like, you know, bouncing around the world, you know, having his own little adventures. But you know, this movie
and that was kind of cool to see him, like, you know, he's in this third world country. I mean, of course, he's in a pimped out villa and everything else. He's got luxury, but you know, it shows him freaking climbing atop this tower to pull, you know, a freaking receptor box, and then, you know, as the authorities close in on him, you know, he's fucking hauling ass on this skateboard and everything else. And
yeah, he jumps off this tower, skis through the jungle, jumps on a skateboard, and goes on this, like, high-speed skateboard. You think he's like, oh, we're finding him on some kind of, like, you know, mission that he's, you know, actually in the game. No, he was just stealing cable for the, you know, so the local bar could watch the soccer
match.
But
it's awesome, man, having all the kids and everybody else, like, the whole town, like, rallying behind them, like giving them high fives and shit like that. Like, I don't know. There was a sense of camaraderie there that was like, you know, he's a badass motherfucker, done a lot of dumb shit, but there's some good to it as well.
Yeah, he's still the local hero. But yeah, this movie,
he's a hero we need nor deserve.
Yeah, but this movie starts off with Samuel Jackson, you know, with a whole new Triple X recruitment speech, and this time he's trying to recruit Neymar Jr., who is a famous soccer player, to become the next Triple X, and giving him a whole new speech where he talks about
the Lords of Dogtown, yeah, man, with the dry swimming pools and skateboards and you know, the big air. And if people haven't seen, you know, Lords of Dogtown, go and check it out.
But yeah, you know,
you're into skateboarding.
I do like one of the new things visually they did, where when they introduce the characters, they get kind of like a, you know, almost like a video game, like action card, where like, you know, where you got like a little quick snippet about their background and stuff. And, you know,
it's almost like comic bookish in a way. Like,
and when they show Neymar, they're like, you know, is a master with anything at his feet. Thought he was getting recruited by the Avengers.
Yes. I do have to say, though, with Donnie Yen's character in here, that it was really, really tough not just being, I'm the Force is with me.
Yeah, I can't see that guy without that going on in my head now. I kept waiting for him to say it, like, at some point.
I kept waiting on him to use the Force.
But yeah, while Gibbs is in the middle of his recruiting speech, a satellite falls on them and supposedly kills everybody. And wonder where they killed him before. Oh yeah, the last movie. He's like he dies in every movie now.
Yeah,
supposedly.
So
spoiler
alert. Yeah,
we'll get into that later.
From here on out, spoilers, whatever that may mean.
So, so the CIA is like, oh, we caught this guy who dropped the satellite, and he's using this device we're calling Pandora's Box, which can hack any satellite and cause it to crash into the Earth, basically turning them into, like,
freaking missiles.
Falling missiles. Yeah. Which is a very, like I said, back to the James Bond parallel, very, you know, James Bondian supervillain, you know, type of methodology here, you know, using satellites as weapons of mass destruction. It's a pretty cool gimmick. I don't think I've seen that particular threat used in a movie before.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely interesting. And I mean, shit. Endless supply of satellites.
Yeah. So this team of like four badass and like ninja type people break into the CIA headquarters, waste a bunch of people and steal this box. So one of the big CIA agents is like, these people are all ghosts and professionals. We need somebody who can be just as dangerous. And she even quotes, I believe, as a speech, you know, Samuel L. Jackson used in one of the early movies, like, we need somebody who can walk into a hurricane or a tornado and step out the other side like it was a damn fine breeze. And she's like, well, they're like, well, do you know somebody like that? And he's like, no, but Gibson did. And then that's where we get like, oh, Senator Cage is chilling out in the Dominican.
Yes.
And, you know, again,
he's probably smoking one of these cigars.
Yeah. And again, they try to throw one of those, you know, tricks like they did at the trick test, like they did at the diner. And he's like, he don't even play along this time. He's like, I'm done being no, I'm like, here you go. Go ahead. Let me grab this gun from you and shoot everybody. Oh, it's blanks.
Well, I mean, I think it's funny. You know, the guy like sits down on the park bench beside him, and you know, it's in the freaking Dominican. Like, you have not seen outside of his character and you know the dime piece that he has.
Yeah.
You know, speaking
another
English,
American
so.
And just automatically assumes that he speaks English. And then the guy leaves a bag and it's a bomb. And he just looks at it, he's like, really? This is what we're doing? And just kind of like looks around like, all right, where's everybody at? It's a bunch of freaking idiots. And he pretty much gives that same, like, you know, this is where y'all fucked up. This, this whole, like, you know, Sherlock Holmesian level of situational awareness.
But you gotta love that shit, though.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it definitely throws back to that, you know, original movie. And one of the things I liked about this movie, this is for the first time we've seen Vin Diesel in a, being a positive person in a movie. I mean, for a long time we've gotten like super serious Dom, you know, in all the Fast Fear, or Pitch Black, yeah, Riddick or whatever. He's always like super like Vin Diesel in all his movies. But, you know, in this one he's back to that, you know, kind of happy, don't give a shit attitude of the original Triple X, and it's kind of nice seeing him crack a smile and tell a joke for once. It's been a long time since you've seen him play that character.
He finally got a vacation, man.
Yeah. Because he's just basically been playing different versions of Dom in like every movie for the last 10 years.
Damn it, Toretto.
So yeah, it was kind of cool seeing that, you know, cockiness of Xander Cage back on the screen.
Yes, absolutely. Now, and then that's what made this film to me enjoyable, is it was refreshing. And, you know, there were a lot of good supporting roles and everything. And, you know, I mean, the action and everything was spot on in this film. Like,
oh, yeah. And I love how this new group, you know, they They try to get X to go in and track down these people who stole the box. And they eventually they try to team him up with, you know, hard-nosed military guys as his backup. And they're all like, you know, ooh, the sports guys, the, you know, the skateboard guy's going to teach us about war. And he's like, so have y'all ever done, like, whatever, this motorcycle trick? Or have y'all ever snowboarded in front of an avalanche? And they're like, no. And he's like, well, y'all have Halo jumped with just a standard issue, whatever, what the hell? Parachute, but it was a...
like almost like a speed chute in a way. I don't.
I forget what it's called, but it's the one they use for dropping packages and stuff. And they're like, "No." He's like, "Really? Well, you're about to." Flips the switch and like dumps the Navy SEALs out of the plane with his. And he's like, "No, I'm getting my own team." So he calls up a you know a sniper played by Ruby Rose, Adele Wolf, who is you know basically like it was kind of cool. You first see her, she's like hanging out in the in you know Africa. Protecting
endangered species.
Endangered species, yeah. And I mean, this is like a real thing. There's actual soldiers that are doing this out here, you know, guarding these you know, endangered animals. And she snipes a couple poachers and let the lion defend himself. She's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to make this fight a little bit even.
That gun you had, you no longer got a hand to fire it with.
Yeah. And then a DJ slash con man that can pretty much get into like any situation and then a stunt driver Mr. Tennyson played by Rory McCann and puts together his XXX team you know so he's not just him on his own anymore he's got a crew of other misfits to try to take these guys down
and I think that's what it needed is you know some because the character dynamics and the way they interacted with each other was just awesome I yeah. mean you know there was that You know, I like that whole scene, you know, before he can, you know, officially go on this mission and everything. He's like, I got to go get my coat.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, talks to his hacker buddy, who's, of course, a hot chick, to locate the ghosts. But when he finally you know, finds them in this underground club in the Philippines, which basically is a hideout for... anybody who's into some shady stuff, you know, you have the ghost team, which is, you know, Zhang played by Donnie Yen. I'm going to butcher this name. Deepak Padukone playing Serena. And you have, you know, other badass martial artists, Tony Jai, you know, playing Talon. And there was another guy, I think it was Hawk. But, you know, as he's...
Yeah, Michael Bisping.
Yeah, as he's... sitting down and conversing with these guys and playing a game of roulette with a grenade nearly. You know, he's like, you know, I once met this, you know, Danny's characters. He's like, I met this guy and all of a sudden. And then he told us the story about skateboarders and pools. And they're like, oh, crap, these guys are XXX. So, yeah, these apparently this team was a new team of XXX agents that Gibbons had had put into the field in, you know, in the intervening years. And basically, they were, you know, you think they're terrorists stealing this weapon to use, but really, they were sent by Gibbons to keep it out of government hands because he didn't trust what people would do with this.
This film almost, like, Gibbons is almost the Nick Fury. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
These are like the outcast of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's pretty much going, you know, off the grid and, you know, like, cause, so... they find out that the package they stole was not the, it was just a prototype. And it's really like the director of the CIA is trying to basically wipe out every other, you know, intelligence agency in the world. So he can kind of control everything or not really sure what his motivation was, but he was the one dropping satellites. So Team X and Team Zhang has to, you know, they kind of are competing to be the ones to get the, you know, get the device where he's, still working for the government, and he's wanting to get it and, you know...
basically destroy it or whatever.
Well, he's trying to get it to return it, and they're trying to get it to... well, they're like, I want to keep it for whatever... you know, because they're obviously not wanting to use it as it's being used, but yeah, part of the team is like, we need to destroy this thing, but Danny's like, no, we need to keep this for whatever reason. They never really make his motivations that clear other than, I don't want the government to have this. You know, I need to have this. But of course... the government agents are turn out to be bad guys. So as soon as Xander turns it over to him. They try to kill him and frame the X team and like, oh, we're going to wipe out your whole team. So they send an army after Team X.
It's like, oh, we got an Xville team in or out. And it's like, hey, do Xville teams usually come loaded for bear like they're in the middle of Afghanistan? No, not usually. Shit, it's a setup.
Oh, and probably one of my favorite moments in this movie, before X leaves the team to go do this, he's like, if anything happens, if you don't hear from me, take this cell phone and dial 9. It's an old Gibson
fail safe.
Right? You know, if you get in trouble, do this. So as soon as the bad guys all show up, you know, they're hitting 9 and trying to keep, you know, from getting blown up. And, you know, they're trying to, evil CIA agent played by Tony Coletta is trying to drop another satellite on them to say, oh, they didn't stop, trying to make it look like, you know, the terrorists that they were fighting dropped one more satellite before they could stop them. That way they could just, you know, because not only could this device drop satellites, it could hack into any system and listen into anybody. It was like the ultimate spying device. So then you get the dual badass fight sequences of the team now having to work together to fight off this invasion. And then X and Tony, or Zhang, in a weird no-gravity fight sequence inside this plane as it's, like, crashing pretty much.
Which was pretty cool.
Zero-gravity kung fu is badass.
Like, shooting the pilot, probably not the best idea, though.
No. But then, you know, as the team runs out of bullets, they're about to be executed, all of a sudden, here comes Ice Cube with a grenade launcher.
And I gotta say, dude, like, that was almost a redeeming quality from the first film because, you know, he shows up and, you know, absolute badassery ensues.
Yeah, he's like got the high ground with the, you know, the freaking grenade launcher, and he's like, X takes care of its own. And I like his little splash card intro that they've done for him. He's like, been waiting 11 years for somebody to press 9. Yes. And then shows up in the original X Pontiac, and he's like, Gibbons told me to watch out for this. You know, thought, you know, it might be needed eventually. And he's like, it's exactly like I left it. And it was, because it still had the headlights were still busted out from where he launched the missiles in the first movie. It was exactly like it was, you know, at the end of the first Triple X.
So, yeah, I mean, just that whole intro was pretty awesome. But I don't know, like, rewinding a little bit, you know, when, you know, the teams are first kind of coming together and they're on, you know, that freaking island, wherever it is, and you know, you've got the DJ, you know, so he's up there, you know, just running distraction. And, dude, her sniping, you know, from being, you know, suspended, you know, from the tree just...
Yeah, she's on Overwatch, and all of a sudden these Russian soldiers come out of nowhere, and they're basically trying to get the package, too. And X starts giving a speech. He's like, if you take this from... You know, he's got still got a live grenade in his hand. Yeah. He's like, if you take this from me, you're going to die. But, yeah, you're going to die first. And then Ivan over there is going to die. And, you know, starts naming off people. And she's, like, on mics going, all right, cool. You know. And as soon as, like, you know, he drops a grenade, she's like,
Ivan, too.
Yeah, and it starts, like, popping everybody in.
But I love his read between the lines speech.
Yes.
Like, you know, that was just freaking awesome. And, you know, she's like, I don't have a shot. I don't have a shot, you know. And
yeah, because this guy's so smart. He has all these propane heaters in the room where they've set up the command center for this weapon. So she, with a thermal scope, can't see because the entire building is hot. So, you know, X kind of backs up to a point where she can see him and is like, you know, because earlier he like kind of gives her the three fingers, like, you know, read between the line, the old joke about giving somebody the finger. And he puts his hands up, and he's doing that thing. She's like, I get it, read between lines. So as soon as he drops his middle finger, she just shoots between his fingers, and he like kind of lines up the shot for her. I mean, that's a hell of a shot. I'm surprised he didn't lose a finger.
Like, I mean, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to volunteer. I don't care how good of a marksman you are.
Yeah, her character was badass in these, and of course the... You know, the hot, weird hacker chick, too, was one of my favorites.
What is the safe word? Kumquat?
Yeah. Like, yeah, she's amusing.
She was fiending hard for some...
Yeah, she wanted some Triple X, that's for sure. And then his whole... you know, taking out the falling satellite with a plane and then jumping out of a plane, no parachute, landing on a falling cargo crate and using its parachute. Pretty badass entry.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah, I did like that little scene with him and Cube together at the end, you know, kind of like... You
that know. Little bit of camaraderie and everything. Yeah, like I felt like if there was more of that in the second film, it would have been so much better. But I'm glad that they were able to eventually bring everything full circle in this film. So,
and then, you know, of course, it ends with them at Gibbon's funeral, and X is by himself up in the upper deck. And, oh, who walks in but Samuel Jackson? Because, of course, you know, he can't die because, you know, they... He's getting into a habit of faking his death in movies. Hell, he even did it in freaking Captain America.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, this motherfucker is Nick Fury.
Yeah. And he basically gives him, he's like, it's a new world. He's like, so what's the mission now? He's like, you need to, who watches the Watchers? Like, we need to keep doing what we're doing, but we just need to do it off the grid. You know, we don't work for anybody. We just do what's right. And he's like, I don't know if I can do it. He's like, hey, let me keep it simple for you. Get the girl. Mess up the bad guys and try to look dope while you do it. You can do dope, right? He's like, yeah. So I, if they do another movie, I'd like to see full Team X with Ice Cube, you know, and all the new Team
it's
X
the next
guys.
Avengers.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, to your point earlier, like they almost filmed this as like a comic book in a way. Like,
yeah,
you know, so it the comedic elements and everything, the action was good, the script was a hell of a lot better than the second one, and you know, for me, it just made it all around enjoyable movie. Like, you know,
and I like the chase sequence between Danny and Diesel, where they're on the motorcycles that can skim on water and like going through waves and shit. That was a little bit ridiculous. If I had not seen Travis Pastrana do something similar before, I'd be like, that's bullshit. But it was pretty cool.
I mean, I used to do, you know, we would do rivers, but...
Except for the part where the bike goes under the water and then comes back up. I'm like, yeah, that bike would have been flooded out. I don't think that's a thing. But other than that, I was like, that's pretty cool. And then you get the final, like, chase sequence where they're trying to get to the guys who's dropping the satellites, and they both kind of get stuck in traffic. And it just turns into a foot race with him and, like, a mobile fight between him and Chen, like, across town to get to the... And when they get to the building, they start taking fire, and they're, like, just automatically start working together. You know, it's like, all right,
we got to put the rivalry aside for a minute and, you know, go handle business.
Yeah, and kind of watching each other's, you know, back in that sequence, and, you know, where it easily could have been, you know... They weren't so much enemies as rivals. It was kind of cool.
I mean, a healthy dose of competition is a good thing.
I mean, they definitely end with like a mutual respect, and you know, he's like, you know, and you know, even after they finish the thing, he doesn't take the device himself as he had already planned. You know, he gives it back to X and to you know, and they kind of you know, defer to him as the team leader at that point. And he you know, does the right thing and smashes it, and is like, no. This is too dangerous for anyone to have. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool if they did another movie where they're kind of like this secret, you know, kind of watchdog group that, you know, goes and does what, you know, basically like, you know, an underground Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. type organization.
Triple X meets the Avengers.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting. So as we wrap things up here, got any particular highlight, favorite character?
It's easy to say that, you know, it's freaking Vin Diesel, but
if you take X off the table, is there anybody who stands? Because you know, of course, we compare X's. Diesel takes Cube, or at least in you know, this sequence of movies, but. Any of the rest of the, you know, any favorite characters?
The sniper chick. I mean, dude, like, I mean, she was spot on. Either her or, I'm sorry, the freaking, you know, lab chick. I forgot her name.
Becky.
But her character was just...
Played by Nina Dobrev.
You know, freaking awesome. You know, I mean, she was quirky, she was geeky, she was smart, she's into weapons, and she's into some kinky shit.
I was thinking, you know, very easily could she have been like a stereotypical chick character. But no, she was hot, but she was also knew her job. She was super intelligent and, you know, knew the equipment, knew the attack. I mean, she wasn't just, you know, there for eye candy or there for the hero to save as you get in most films. No, her, Ruby Rose,
they stepped up.
And even, Serena's, were legit badasses in their own right. And, you know, were equal partners in the team and not, you know, just, you know, eye candy.
I mean, she's over there scrambling the frequency to prevent, you know, the satellite. And then too, like when shit really hits the fan and there's a gun there, you know, she musters up the courage and she's like, well, I've never really shot before, but there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, she's definitely not a field agent, but she, you know, she steps up, becomes a badass.
So, I mean, I think she was a very good supporting character. And, you know, as little in the overall story arc and the characters, but she left a lasting impression with me anyway.
Yeah, like as far as our new crew, yeah, those two are highlights. Loved Donnie Yen's character, and you know,
but you just know you're going to get badass martial arts.
Yeah,
you it's just a given.
Even if you go back to Schaefer, the original tech guy from the first two movies, I'm kind of surprised he didn't show up at some point. But I he was, you know, added a definitely needed like comedic element to the previous films. Yeah, so maybe he'll show up in a future movie. I don't know what that guy's doing these days. But I always liked him in the first renditions of XXX.
But I do got to give it to Ice Cube, though, you know, and I mean, that was badass. I mean, I know he was a big part of the second film, but I don't feel like the second film as a standalone, you know, did this franchise justice. So it was good to be able to see him come in, and, you know, that was a really redeeming quality to see.
Yeah, I would like to see a whole movie with those two, like a whole, like, Buddy X with those two partners getting into some shit.
Yes.
That would be an interesting movie. And as we wrap up, any final thoughts on the cigar here?
Yeah, the cigar was really good. You know,
It definitely
stayed medium. You know,
but the flavor, I think, stayed very consistent throughout.
Yeah, I mean, it had a good flavor profile and everything. And I don't know that I've smoked too many all Dominican cigars, so this was a little bit of a flavor change for me. But yeah, it was good, and I would, you know, recommend this to, you know, anybody that sees them in their local brick and mortar.
Yeah, Dominican used to be like a big, you know, you see that Dominican tobacco a lot in recent years, and it's kind of...
It's all gone Nicaraguan.
Yeah, Nicaraguan's been like the big... So I like someone going back to, you know, Dominican tobacco.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely a high recommendation for me.
All right, and with that, we'll be right back.
Get on your knees! You have 3 seconds to comply! 1, 2, 3...
If you wanted me back, you could have just asked me.
A device that controls every military satellite in the world has fallen into the hands of 4 very dangerous guys.
We need someone who can move like them, fight like them. It's time to be a patriot.
There are no more patriots, just rebels and tyrants.
So which are you?
I'm Triple X.
Introduce you to your ground team.
All right, here comes Red Bull's poster child.
I'm not gonna have clowns watch my back.
Who would you trust?
The good, the extreme, and the completely insane.
Hold on! No.
What you want, I got what you need.
Now that's a team I can work with.
Here we go. Refreshing. You actually know what you're doing down there. That's what she said.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And welcome back to the show. One thing I forgot to say about Triple X, though. The things I'm about to do for my country line. It's the one thing from all the movies. First movie, X has to bang a couple strippers. He's like, things I'm about to do for my country. And then Ice Cube gets hit on, and but he kind of turns it down. He's like, the things I can't do for my country. And in the new movie, Xander gets a full-on orgy scene. And at the end of the, he's like, the things I've done for my country.
Yes. Very but appropriate and very fitting.
After you do something like that, you probably want to have a beer to celebrate. So what are we drinking today, Brad? Well, speaking of celebrations.
Today, we're drinking Victory, the... Couldn't find a triple X, so we got a double X, a 20th anniversary Imperial Pilsner. And once again, you know, the fine folks at Dawson Fine Wine and Spirits want to give them a shout out for hooking us up. And, you know.
And this beer is, it's not even on their website anymore. It's been retired. This was released early 2016. So we never get a chance to really try some, like, aged beers. But well, this one's been in the bottle for at least a year.
So it's kind of interesting, the fact that, yes, this beer was brewed in 2016, but a lot of stores and stuff are just starting to get their hands on the bottles. So it is a limited one-time release, but we had an opportunity, and it looks like, you know, judging from site's availability, is it's limited, but it's out there. And like I said, you know, talk to the folks at Dawson Fine Wine. They'll hook you up. But, you know, I got to say that this beer is kind of interesting. So, you know, for me, it comes in and some of the malty flavors come through. Then you get a little bit of a, you know, a hop and a bittery finish. And, you know, the hops is actually a little bit more than what the initial smell indicated. Like, you know, it's definitely not as hoppy as what you would think of an IPA or anything to that extent, but, you know, it's there. And, dude, this is just not, kind of an all-around good drinking beer, it seems.
Yeah, because we've not drank a lot of Pilsners, and, you know, the Pilsner beer is your traditional, you know, style of beer. You know, most regular macro beers are either a Pilsner or a lager. Yeah, I'm like, you know, for example, I think Miller's considered a Pilsner. But, I mean, it's an old traditional European style. And according, you know, to celebrate 20 years of brewing, you know, they wanted to release a beer that truly embodied the European tradition and American ingenuity of a beer. And I got to say, this is probably, you know, because we've drank a lot of stouts and porters and whatnot recently. This is the most beer-flavored beer. I think, and this is when, you know, your traditional idea of what beer should taste like, and not the cheap, watered-down American beers that we get, but a real, you know, Pilsner beer. It's a pretty good example of that style of beer.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I got to say, like, it's sporting an 8% ABV. It does not drink like an 8%.
No.
Like, it goes down smooth. It doesn't sit heavy. And between some of the, you know, the maltiness and the citrus make this seem a little bit lighter than probably what it is. Like, this could be a dangerous beer.
Yeah, if you had a couple of these and not knowing what you had a hold of and decided just to have a session, you might end up on your butt.
Yeah. But I got to say, you know, I mean, it gives off a good lace. I mean, it is definitely definitely rich in carbonation, but I don't think it's too overcarbonated for the style. So, you know, just awesome recommendation, and it's good just to have a nice, enjoyable beer that, you know what, if somebody was a, you know, an American lager drinker or, you know, a fan of that, I bet you could put them on this and start introducing them to the craft beer world.
But yeah, this, you know, that Miller Lite you're having, this is what it should taste like. Here, yeah, try this. This, you know, because, you know, most people think if you're unfamiliar with the craft beer world, you assume it's all super hoppy bitter stuff. But no, I mean, it can be light drinkable. Like, this would be a good, you know, to have with a meal. You know, like I said, some of the stouts and stuff, those tend to be, those I almost like to have as a post-dinner dessert type thing, because they're a little bit heavy and will overpower, you know, some foods. But this, I mean, you could drink this with hot wings or whatever and have a good old time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hands down. In fact, we got a still got a batch of Super Bowl chili this might just pair well with some of that heat.
Oh, yeah. This might put out your fire.
Just maybe. Just maybe.
So what are you going to rate this one on our
untapped app
that never gets updated?
Eventually, we're going to update it. My problem is I go in spurts, so I'm going to update, and it's just going to assume that I'm an alcoholic and I should be dead. I'm at a solid 5.
Yeah, like I said, it's not my usual beer, but like I said, this could definitely be, you know, unfortunately, it's too limited to be a daily drinker, but yeah, this one definitely can get
well,
your hands on.
Well, there was quite a bit there, and I do have to say that, you know, compared to some of the craft beers and the bombers and everything, this is absolutely priced at a very good price point. So,
yeah, so pick some up while you can. And with that, we'll be right back. And welcome back to the podcast. It's time for science. Are you ready to learn what there is to learn this week?
Yeah, man. What do we got? What do we got?
You want to know what's in the future? What the future holds?
Does it involve a Ouija board?
Maybe. I mean, we could do the science behind Ouija boards. Smart people at IBM recently got together and kind of had a talk about what they see in the next 5 years being the big developments, things that we're definitely going to have, or they are definitely saying will probably be a big part of the next 5 years. Like by 2022, they came up with 5 predictions. Their 5 and 5 list of what they see on the horizon of technology and science.
Is this the impending doom from our robot overlords?
It could be, because number one on their list, artificial intelligence.
Which is already a thing.
Yeah, but the stuff we have now, they're calling dumb AI, where it's basically just, you know, computers that can beat us at video games and stuff using...
It's still relying on our input and mathematics.
Yeah, advanced calculations and
but
whatnot.
But it has not become self-aware yet.
But what they're thinking we will have by, you know, 2020 is what they're calling smart AI, which will be basically indistinguishable from human intelligence, a.k.a. Skynet.
Boo. Boo, Wendy.
Because, yeah, this is, you know, people like Elon Musk and other people have been warning, even I believe Mr. Hawking has kind of said, yeah, that could be a bad idea. But, you know, if IBM, the OG people behind most computers and stuff, are saying this is going to be a thing, pretty sure it's probably going to be a thing at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And they think this will have like such a huge impact that it will basically affect all other technologies and stuff moving forward. For example, like, you know, as we get into the self-driving cars and all this other stuff, you know, more advanced AI is going to be able to have these things operate and take more of that control out of human hands and, you know, they hope make it safer. or just, you know, birth of the robots and we all die.
We're all going to go sometime anyway, so eh.
Their second prediction is basically super sight. You know, we've already got some like advanced eye implants or glasses or contact lenses that can look into other light spectrums and enhance our vision and whatnot. But as they say, with this inclusion of AI, we'll make this stuff more automatic and more, you know, user-friendly, where the example they give was, like, if you had contacts that could change, you know, the wavelengths and you're driving your car and all of a sudden you hit a foggy patch, your advanced AI would be able to detect that and automatically adjust your vision to be able to better see through, you know, the foggy environment. So instead of having to, like, you know, make a switch to night vision, thermal, whatever, you know, your AI will be able to predict the best use of, you know, what predict what you need before you know, have to be a flip a switch or whatever, making this, you know, more, you know, workable.
Interesting. That's crazy. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, we've seen so many medical advances already, and you know, I mean,
yeah, and that, same with these advanced medical devices and stuff. All that stuff is requiring either some input from the user or, you know, commands, whatnot. But with, you know, AI, they can make all this stuff more natural and more predictive. So, you know, it would, these things would function more like, you know, your actual eyes and limbs and stuff, because it'd be processing at a much higher rate than, you know, you, the fastest computer we got now is still slower than your brain. But as this technology advances, you know, it's going to be on that same speed and decrease the delays, making them more natural to use and, you know, easier to function. The third thing, they call macroscopes. And basically, you know, to go back to XXX with, you know, the world's covered in freaking satellites, as computing gets faster, AI gets better, we should be able to take all this data that's being collected and basically build like advanced, like predictive models and stuff where, you know, stuff like climate change and all this other, you know, they'll be able to process worldwide data and put it into something that makes sense instead of having to pull data from all these individual little sources. Again, Skynet.
Yes. All I'm envisioning is Big Brother, more intrusion. All right, Big Brother.
The other thing that they're talking about is labs on chips, is what they're calling this. And basically it's going to be, you know, you won't have to go to your doctor. You'll be able to, you know, plug something into your hand that's the size of a microchip, and it detect bodily functions and diagnose medical issues and all this other stuff without ever having to go to your doctor. You know, or like instead of even going to the doctor, you know, you got something like your thumbprint scanner on your computer. You know, you stick your finger in there, and your doctor can look at the data and diagnose you without ever you having to go into the office.
Well, I mean, our work just this year, in fact, rolled out a thing where, you know, now to cut down on, you know, some of the cost of actually going and see. So they have physicians that are on call and basically using a smartphone app like, you know, S Health or, you know, like your Apple devices that monitors heart rate and all this other stuff. Like they're able to take that information, you know, from those devices, and, you know, they may not be able to give you a full-fledged diagnosis, but, you know, definitely get you steered in the right direction and that type of thing, you know, basically, you know, just covered in the cost of insurance without, you know, the added cost of going and seeing, you know.
The time cost alone is, you know, decreasing that factor is definitely going to improve the situation. And, you know, as these micro devices could even, you know, treat stuff. If you have, like, say, you know, cancerous cells, instead of someone having to cut you open to remove that, if they can, you know, inject you with a bunch of little nanobots, then go in there and eat up the cancer cells or patch whatever, you know, and to, you know, having your body do surgery internally than having someone having to cut you open and do something more invasive, that's gonna, you know, definitely improve health.
So we become the freaking Terminators.
Exactly.
They're eating us from the inside.
Which, that was one of the, I watched the new freaking Death Race 2050, and that was one of the things, is like, the reason for the Death Race was the world was overpopulated because we had cured cancer and all these other, so now people were living longer because no one was dying of natural causes anymore, so they invented the Death Race to weed out the population. And that could be a weird unintended side effect of curing all diseases.
No, I mean, unfortunately, not everything is an unlimited supply. So, I mean, at some point, you know, you hit critical mass, and I mean, you know, nothing lasts forever, unfortunately. So I don't know. I mean, you know, to your point, I could definitely see it going one way or the other. Now, you know, I think there's so much cancer and everything else that, you know, we're doing a disservice by genetically modifying and, you know, a lot of the other stuff. I mean, you know, we don't know where our food sources come from most of the time. We don't really know about our water sources and what's truly in it. You know, we just, oh, it went through a filter. It's got to be good, you know, whatever the case is. Like, I don't know.
And their final prediction, which also ties into the whole AI, is smart sensors, where, you know, there'll be a lot, you know, smaller, more advanced sensing technology that can detect things in the environment, and it'd be more widespread like the health detecting things. But we already have a lot of this stuff, but they require, you know, some kind of human input. They can be like, hey, we detected this, it's a problem, but they're still going to have to have somebody fix it. But then once you include AI and automation, you can build a self-sustaining system that can detect problems and then also fix those problems without having to require any input or assistance.
That's kind of interesting.
And as long as we're talking about our eventual robot overlords, they've invented a new drone. Researchers at Caltech and the University of Illinois at Urbana recently published a study in the science journal Science Robotics, and they have invented a robotic flying bat.
Holy crap. The image, like, of this thing just looks pretty awesome. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, we have, like, you know, flying drones now either operate off of some kind of propellers or even the ones that are bird-like. Basically, can only go up and down, but they've not really been able to recreate the movements of a bat, because the bat, you know, with its, has over like 40 joints in its arms and can maneuver in a way that a bird of the same size as the bat is going to be way less maneuverable than a bat. And with this robot made with, you know, 3D printed ball joints, super light carbon fiber bones, basically, and a silicone skin, is able to, you know, reproduce the flight of a bat. I mean, it can hover, it can move asymmetrically and perfectly imitate how bats actually fly and, you know, move around the environment. Right now, it kind of still needs a pilot or some kind of assistance, but as, you know, they're able to put more sensors and more computing technology in this, thing could be, you know, self-guiding and, you know, basically a full-fledged robo-bat, which may lead to robot vampires.
I love it.
So now we don't have to worry about Terminator.
Vampire 2025.
Robot vampires. But they're saying
killer robot vampires from outer space.
But they're saying at this point that this is the most precise flying drone in existence. So as the technology kind of advances, yeah, this could be the new standard in drone technology at some point.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, definitely innovative.
And now we move to space, the final frontier. You know that big object in the sky, you know, the moon?
Oh, well, yeah, the big cheese ball.
Yeah. Well, apparently we found a little, it's got a little brother. They've officially stated that Earth now has two moons.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
Well, this one's much smaller than the Death Star. It's basically an asteroid that's kind of got caught in our gravitational pull and was recently discovered back in April of 2016, asteroid 2016 HO3. But they've recently confirmed that, you know, it is still, it's orbiting the Earth. It's been there for probably 100 years and will potentially stay there for the foreseeable future. So, you know, it's only maybe like 300 feet across. So it's not something you're going to normally see with the naked eye, but it's up there. Don't run into it if you're, you know, flying in space.
That's pretty cool.
And speaking of things from space, early Monday morning, about 1:31 a.m. in Wisconsin, a big-ass meteor crashed into the, they don't know if it's made, you know, ground landing, but it has been filmed by several security cameras and dash cams.
Well, it probably landed somewhere. Now, once it did land, you know, did it, you know, just land in the middle of nowhere as a small pebble and...
Right, because it's like, the video of it's amazing, cause it's just a huge green fireball in the sky, which would really wake you up. I mean, there's one video, it's from a police dash cam of the explosion, and I'm like, I wish it had audio, because I couldn't, as a former police officer, I could imagine my reaction as I'm driving around, probably bored out of my mind at 1:30 in the morning with nothing going on, and all of a sudden there's a giant explosion in the sky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always kind of like eye-opening, you know, just seeing like a shooting star. I mean, any time you see like, you know, an obvious fireball, it's like, is this it?
Yeah.
Oh. And then it just makes you feel so small and like, yeah, what can you do? Nothing.
No. If it, you know, start having flashbacks to Armageddon. not saying it's aliens, but could have been aliens.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. I'm just watching, you know, a couple of the videos here. And
oh, yeah. It lights up the night sky. That definitely, if you were happen to be out and about that night, some drunk stumbling home from the bar, you'd be like, holy frick, it's the invasion.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the way it looks, I mean, it's almost like a missile incoming up until a certain point, and it just erupts into a big fireball. And, like, you know, that's got to be a shit moment.
Yeah, there was some buttholes got puckered that night, I guarantee. And with that, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show, we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
So, you know, I alluded to this a little bit, you know, earlier in the show, but so, you know, we went to a beer fest, and, you know, beer fests are often made of, you know, an eccentric group of people, you know? Okay. I mean, you got a lot of folks coming together from all varieties, walks of life. Well, there was a discussion behind me going on about Harambe. So, this leads me to an article that I found. So, there is a Harambe-shaped hot Cheeto that is going for $99,000 on eBay.
The fuck?
Yes. Now, just because it's priced at $99,000 doesn't mean anybody's buying it for $99,000, but it made local news, so I had to share.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So,
when will this meme die?
Like
it's eternal, like Harambe.
Yes. I suppose. So, switching gears. So, we had a little sporting event yesterday called the Super Bowl. Anyway, part of that is I always look forward to the commercials. I mean, I'm not really a big sports fan, but, you know, it was Atlanta, so, you know, I got an opportunity to have some good food, hang out with some good company, smoke a good cigar, and made the most of the night. Well, Stranger Things Season 2. We got our, you know, kind of peek at it. And I got to say, man, I'm stoked.
Yeah, like, definitely looking. As we've progressed in years now, waiting for the next level of 80s references. I mean, you already seen one in the trailer. The kids are dressed up as Ghostbusters for Halloween. I gotta say, they got some pretty sweet,
Ecto packs. I'm
like,
yeah.
I was like, damn, like, I wish I could have got that when I was a kid.
That's because they're making them millions now, son.
Yeah.
You know, those kids are set.
Oh, yeah. They're already, like, kings of the con circuit.
Yes. And, you know, they've already made some con debuts and everything. I'm almost wondering if, you know.
Yeah, they were just at Days of the Dead in Atlanta. And I've seen some of my friends posting that it went, posting pictures with them. Hell, maybe they'll come to Dragon Con this year.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, you know, if, you know.
It's not been announced yet, but, yeah, they're making all the other smaller con appearances, so if they're not in the middle of filming something, especially since Season 2, as part of that trailer, we got a release date. It's going to be coming in Halloween, so Dragon Con, like, a month or two before Halloween, it'd be a good, yeah, time to yeah. Show up and
have the kids and do support some stuff. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just been such an awesome series. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's all the references and it's a throwback to my childhood or whatever, but I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a modern day Goonies is about the best way I can describe it.
I saw some of my posts and it was like, I really like the Goonies 2 trailer that came out.
Yes.
What?
Did I miss something? Up next is, you know, we got a little bit more of an extended look at Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And the more I see of this, the more I'm digging Drax's character.
Yeah, I mean, the new trailer, all new scenes we've not really seen before. Yeah, it looks interesting. I do like that Xandu is back and looks like he's got a bigger role this time around.
Yes.
Because he was one of my favorite, you know, little side characters in the last movie.
Looks like Mantis is also, you know, making an appearance, so.
And even, like, you know, Rocket looks more like Rocket from the Cartoon. You know, he actually has, like, a jetpack and is, like, hovering at one point with little Groot on his shoulder. And I think my favorite thing is, like, you know, Xandu's like, he's like, I am Groot. And he's like, what the hell did he say? He's like, he said, welcome to the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy. Except he didn't use the word freaking. And, like, little Groot's got a smile on his face and is shaking his head, like.
That's awesome.
And then, like, Mantis gets hit by some, like, flaming rock or something. And as she gets hit, Drax is like, look out! Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah, I tried.
A little late.
I tried, guys. Sorry.
But, yeah, not only the acting and everything else in the first film, but I mean the soundtrack, and it looks like, you know, the, you know, volume 2 is just going to have, you know, as much of a badass soundtrack, you know. Looks like we got a lot from the 70s and 80s just from the tidbits that I'm hearing, so freaking stoked, can't wait. another movie that I am stoked for, which is, you know, I have no other word to describe it outside of utter badassery, is John Wick 2. Like, I'm almost waiting for, like, John Wick versus Jason Bourne or something. Like, I mean, can we get, like, you know, a super, you know, freaking...
I think Wick can take him.
I don't know. I mean, hand-to-hand...
There's no parkour, and it's just shootout. Wick's got him.
I think so, but I think if it ever came hand to hand, I don't know. I think Jason Bourne would give him a run for his money.
I don't know if you get close enough. John would just like shoot him like 15 times before he.
I'm saying hand to hand though, like, you know, John for some reason screws up and loses all sidearms and everything. What was it? The superhero, like, you know, there was a series on YouTube where they would like pit different superheroes.
Oh, superpower beatdown.
Yeah, like I would almost like to see something like that with John Wick and Jason Bourne, just to see what happens. But yeah, I'm extremely stoked for that. And another movie that, you know, I was kind of, you know, excited about, but I didn't really follow the animes or anything, was Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, the original Ghost in the Shell movie. Like I said, I watched both movies and the TV series, and yeah, that's probably one of my favorite, you know, anime movies. And from the stuff we've seen in the couple new trailers, it looks exactly like the original anime. That just live action. I mean, Scarlett Johansson looks exactly like the Major. It's
freaking awesome.
Awesome. Yeah,
yeah. So I gotta say, I'm super excited for that one. And then, you know, kind of switching gears a little bit, I mean, still talking about movies, but probably one of the most iconic, like, you know, female roles as far as video games that I can think of is, you know, Tomb Raider. And, you know, we've got our first, you know, look at Lara Croft, you know, played by Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, I haven't played a Tomb Raider game in a while, but from the looks of it, she looks a lot like the Lara Croft from the newer video game.
Yes.
It definitely looks like they've seen straight from that game.
So, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of excited. I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Tomb Raider games. I've had a hell of a, you know, enjoyable time playing them and everything. So,
I did see a picture of the day. Someone did an awesome Lara Croft cosplay, and it was the original PlayStation 1 graphics version of Lara Croft with the, angular breasts that looked like it was that old Vector graphic animation.
That's funny. And another sweet movie is, I kind of wanted to hate on a little bit, but I can't. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, Dead Man Tell No Tales. Like, it looks like, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, almost like we're going back to the original roots. And
yeah, because that last, like, standalone movie they did, I can't remember what it's called now, there was a whole lot of them running around in jungles and whatnot. Not a lot of, you know, sea battles. And, you know, no one was in it other than, you know, Johnny, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow. But this one looks like they've got the original team back together. I mean, they've, Orlando Bloom, pops up in it. And, you know, the new bad guys, those, like, you know, death pirates look freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I don't know, man. Like, I guess, you know, part of it for me was just having Johnny Cash, like, you know.
Yeah, that trailer music.
Which is freaking awesome, which...
Which, the new Logan trailer, too, has that Johnny Cash theme song to it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's been a... We lost him a long time ago, but he's still making stuff badass even, you know, even today.
Dude, man, I mean, shit. Johnny Cash, I think, is probably one of my all-time favorites. I mean, just... I added that unique voice, and, you know, he brought something to a genre of music, like, you know, that you just kind of got that raw sense, and I don't know. Me always be the man in black. And now we're going to fast forward, and we're going to learn about our fate and Fate of the Furious.
I mean, where Triple X shows up to fight Dominic.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you wanted the battle. This may just be the precursor to the battle. But, I mean, it just looks like the over-the-top antics and everything have just completely, you know, ensued, and... There's no slowing down.
Yeah, cause like, for a while there, when they're talking about, you know, kind of starting a new trilogy, they're talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to get back to, like, the street racing origins. But that sounds like some bullshit, because this still looks like some Mortal Kombat with cars.
I mean, this is still very paramilitary and everything else. Like, I don't know. You know, oh, they got a tank, so we need a bigger truck. And, you know, we still got cars flying out of buildings and...
Yeah, it's like the Avengers of car movies. I mean, it's they've gone full superhero.
Like, at some point, you know, Vin Diesel's going to show up in Bumblebee or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
He's going to jump off a building and do a superhero landing.
He's got to do it. But, you know, kind of going back to the Super Bowl a little bit, you know, what was one of your highlights as far as the commercials and stuff like that?
I said, you know, all the new movie trailers were good, but as far as just the regular ads, the only one that I was really entertained by was the stupid, 50 Shades of Grey cell phone commercials. Those were the, the only ones that I was like amused by.
Yeah. I don't know. I like those. Like I said,
And the Super Bowl, halftime, Dookie, ad for, Potpourri or whatever.
Yes.
For Breeze, you know, as we take a break, everyone's going to go take that, you know, halftime shit, and sometimes it smells, so get your Febreze ready. I was like, that is hysterical ad right there.
Yes. After all the chili, the hot wings and everything, probably couldn't find a more appropriate one.
It was true.
Yes. Sometimes you got to be real.
I definitely Febrezed up at the halftime.
TMI. I just assume you went to grab another cigar.
No, I got rid of a cigar.
Damn it.
Oh, speaking of which, if you need a cigar for a sporting event, gotta recommend the Ford Americana Digger. That cigar is so big that it would have lasted a full like Super Bowl nearly. I started like an hour before the game, and I was still smoking at halftime on that original cigar.
Yeah, I mean, it carried me. It actually, you know, carried me, you know, throughout the game, which, you know, I did. You know, set it down a time or two just to grab some food or, you know, in between commercials or whatever. So it wasn't a constant, you know, smoking. But I had no issues dragging that out through the duration. Probably get weird looks running around, though. With like,
it's a long cigar.
It's like, dude, you got a battalion in your mouth? Almost. So, Yeah, I don't know. It was all around good times. So I'm just super excited for all the new stuff that's coming out. Like, I don't know. I'm between video games. You know, we got the open beta going on now for Tom Clancy's The Wildlands, and that shit just looks insane. Like, I really want to play Battlefield 1 and get my hands on it. But this game, like, I'm going to get it the day it comes out. You know, just the destructive environments, the ability to utilize vehicles and everything, and then, you know, just the different ways to commandeer a particular situation and how you're going to go in and handle it. Like, I don't know.
Grand Theft Auto Wartime, pretty much.
Well, I mean, to an extent, but Tom Clancy games, you had to be aware and be tactical. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you're going to get shot 50 times and your health's going to regenerate. No, you get shot in the head, you're dead. You get shot in the, you know, torso, you're not having that happen more than once. Like, so, you know, they were always, you know, quite a bit challenging and, you know, forced you to slow down, take your time, and put some thought behind, you know, whatever you're about to achieve. You know, that or go to breach a door and end up blowing up your whole team. Or, hey, clear the room and everybody ends up shooting each other and you end up dead.
Not tactical at all.
Not tactical at all. So, any other news or tidbits that...
No, yeah, wraps it up for me. Be sure and check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. Check out StrikeForceEnergy.com. Remember to use the code CigarNerds. Also, you want some cool shirts, RealMenSmokeCigars.com. They got the Cigar Nerd shirt on there. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at CigarNerdPod. And remember, I live for this shit!
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.